I would like to share a rhema with you, and it's from Deuteronomy 11, 26 to 28. And this is interesting because it says God is giving us a choice. And it's a choice I need to make. He says there, and I'm quoting actually from the Names of God Bible, but I usually use the King James in my counseling and speaking to large groups. But remember that we're really sharing rhemas here today. That's what we're sharing. We're sharing truths from the Word of God that can be applied to my life and to my situation. Deuteronomy 11, 26 to 28, God says, today I'm giving you a choice of a blessing or a curse. And I have traveled to many countries of the world and administered on many Indian reservations in the USA and many Indian reserves in Canada. And people that come from an animistic background live in fear of being cursed. And so I knew that when I was going to do some major conferences in Africa, I really needed to study curses. And I believe there are 11 different Hebrew words for curses and 9 different Greek words for curses. And I studied all the references to curses in the Old and New Testament. So, because in our culture, we don't really fear curses. Maybe we ought to. And we certainly would not want to pronounce a curse in one of these other cultures. And often people curse us. And it's not just saying bad words. It's saying words that are designed to bring harm to the one you're speaking to. Okay, now, so if I obey the Lord, then God says he will give me a blessing. See, the more I try to make scripture a part of my daily life and my daily choices, the more I'm going to be blessed of God. But he says, if you disobey, then a curse will come when you turn from God and displease him. And the Bible will say with an idol. And you could say, well, you know, I'm not an idolater and I don't worship idols. But maybe we ought to take another look at idols. When God gave the Ten Commandments, and this is also repeated in the New Testament by Jesus and in the epistles, that we are to love the Lord our God with all of our heart, with all our souls, all of our mind, with our total being. We're to love him. That God wants to be first in my life. I'm reading right now Dietrich Bonhoeffer's book on discipleship. And he made it so simple. Jesus bids me to follow him and die. Now, what am I to die to? I'm to die to self. If any man will come after me, let him say no to himself and take up his cross every day and follow me. When I'm not willing to say no to myself, then I'm going to make choices that revolve around me rather than the will of God. So God says, I want to be first. Then in the Ten Commandments, he said something that when I saw that, I didn't understand it. It just seemed so wrong. God said, I am a jealous God. I'm going, a jealous God? Isn't jealousy wrong? You know, this seems kind of a wrong thing. But what is jealousy? Jealousy is the fear of being displaced in the heart of someone you love. When does a wife feel jealous? When she sees her husband giving too much attention to something else than to her. So God is saying, anything that displaces me in your heart is an idol. Some idols have four wheels. Sometimes I can give so much time to making money or fame and, you know, all this other stuff, that as a believer, I'm displacing God. This becomes more important to me than God's will for my life. Or it becomes such a focus that I think about that a lot. And, you know, I'm so wrapped up in self, in the things of self, that I'm in trouble. God will not bless me. Jesus said what we must do to follow him. And he meant every word that he said. You know, we often, as we follow God and are sensitive to the Spirit of God, God will put his finger on something in our life that stands between my soul and the Savior. To say no to God is not a very good idea, because God will take his blessing off of you. But if you're saying, God, that seems awfully difficult, it seems awfully squeaky conservative, listen, God knows what's best for me. He is my Father, he loves me, and I am his child. And God only wants good things for me. And God may see something in my life that, as I continue to follow that, is going to be super, super destructive. Years ago, after graduating from Bible college, after being in the Army, I had some very, very false ideas. I pastored a country church way up in the high mountains of California. And if we had every single person in town in our church, it still would have been small. And so there was so much push to have a big church, a large church, and so on. And so I had this driving factor to be successful. I had to have a big church. Is that really God's goal for me? No, he wanted me to be a faithful pastor to the people he gave me, and to be willing to share the gospel message with, and to have a view in our little community there, but worldwide, go into all the world and preach the gospel. And so I realized that I had the wrong goal. My goal should be that I could help the people under my ministry to be as godly as they can be where they are, rather than I want a bigger building, I want a bigger church, I want a bigger parking lot, or who knows what all. And all of that, it became almost an idol in my life. And God finally gave me a wake-up call. Because one of the things that's important for us is to be content. Contentment and godliness is great gain. If I'm not content with what God has provided, will I be content with what he will provide? I don't think so. Because I've rubbed shoulders in many of the conferences with very, very wealthy people. And so many of them, you know, you go, wow, they have fancy cars and this huge house and all this stuff. They want more. They're not content. So be content where you are. I'm not saying you don't need to work hard, because you do it as unto the Lord, but be content with what God has presently provided you. God has promised to meet our needs, not our wants. And I could give you many illustrations. In my years of serving God, I started serving God full-time. I served him before that, but full-time in 1960. So that was, what, almost 50 years ago. And I'm telling you, he's a very faithful God. He's very loving. And he's come through marvelously in our lives. And we've shared on other videos we have about children and giving him a greater concept of God and all of that. So our kids need to see that God is real and he answers prayer. So today we want to remember that God is giving me a choice. I can choose to be blessed of God and be open to the Spirit of God if I'm displacing God in any area of my life. Because if I'm not willing to deal with what God reveals, and I had to deal with that, that success as a pastor was extremely important. The word success is only found once in the King James Bible, and it says it comes when you meditate on Scripture. But God has called all of us to be faithful. So I'm encouraging you to be faithful to God and to the truth that you now have, and keep seeking God that he would speak to your heart. And then walk as God reveals new truth to you. And in your walking in obedience to Scripture, you have a promise. God's blessing will be upon your life.